Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's July 12th, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation audio publication 112.
This is No Agenda.
Hey, everybody. Coming to you from an undisclosed 17th century canal house location, it is the Crackpot Command Center on remote. Coming to you via WiMAX. I'm Adam Curry.
Wow. I'm here in the Pacific Northwest. Gitmo Nation, Pacific Northwest. John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Yeah, man, the bandwidth gods have not been favorable this past week for me. The cable went out here on Thursday, and it's been out ever since. Of course, talking to customer support is a big joke. And
do they talk? Are they in India?
No, they're in Holland, but they might as well be in India because literally they go through this list and they say
they've hired Indians.
No. And I was like, is the coax plugged in? I said, look, dipshit, could you please put me through to an engineer who could actually, like, you know, check? No, we can't do that. But, you know, we'll set up an appointment for you. Would you like Monday? I said, it's fucking Thursday. No, Monday between 8 and 12 or 8 and 1 or 12 and 6. Well, give me between 8 and 1. I'm sorry, that's not available. Well, then give me between 12 and 6. It's so sad. I said, well, you know, can't you get, it's like, you know, I'm sure that more of the block is down. I mean, this, it just went out, you know, there's obviously a problem at the head end somewhere. I said, well, then you should go to your neighbors and ask them to call and complain too, because the more complaints we get, the quicker that someone will come out and check. I'm like, okay. I'm just.
What kind of a business plan is that?
It's UPC. UPC, who I'd like to name and shame.
Universal Product Code? When did they get into the business?
They might as well be the Universal Product Code. So anyway, so there's this kind of the new service, new WiMAX service in Amsterdam, which is, I have to say, is pretty cool. You go into the store, you buy the USB stick modem, and then you sign up online. You can prepay. So I prepaid for a week. And you can decide what kind of bandwidth you want. So I said, give me the max, which is 5 megabits down, 1 megabit up. You plug it in, and the crap just works.
So where do you pick? So if I was visiting, I could just go buy one of these things, and then I'd be online while I was in Amsterdam.
Well, even better than that,
as much as I wanted to be.
Even better than that, you can use any WiMAX modem. You know, it's just a modem. So
yeah, but you know, let me warn you that WiMAX modems are incompatible with each other.
All right. Well, so in that case, yeah, you can come into Amsterdam, you pick up a WiMAX modem, which I think is 90 euros.
And that's reasonable.
It's reasonable. And then you go online.
They're paying 20 bucks a day in a hotel.
Hell yeah. And let's see. 1 week of the 5 down, 1 up costs $9.95. And obviously, if you do a longer term, you can do a contract. I did the prepaid. You can do a longer term. And I think the 5 down, 1 up per month, if you do a 6-month contract, is like $14.95. And it's awesome. Of course, it doesn't give me, you know, porn on TV because that's still out. But otherwise, it allows me to do the show.
Hmm.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised, I have to say. Of course, let me
sound good.
Let me knock on wood because you know that, of course, it'll crap out halfway through.
Probably.
Let me see how we're doing on the stream here. Oh yeah, lots of people on the stream. Cool. Oh wait a minute. Why does it say offline? What the hell is that?
Let me go look at the chat room. I'm listening to the chat room today.
Yeah, can people still hear it? Because I'm getting like a.
So you guys still in the chat room there?
Yeah.
Smackintosh,
hey.
Are you still hearing the
Smackintosh?
Smackintosh, Mal, and
are these our dudes?
And Twisted Lemon.
I love it. I love it. So, do you want to start?
Well, we can start with your, you know, again, you know, I want to remind people, and I think the guy says the stream is good. Don't touch it, Adam.
Okay, message.
I want to remind people that we actually give them news before it actually happens.
You mean like Michael Jackson being murdered?
We've done this consistently, by the way. Since this flying swoo.
The flying swoo, everybody. We're all going to die from the flying swoo.
The swine flu to everything in between and the oil fiasco. And I mean, it's unbelievable. But yes, that's exactly what I'm referring to. Janet Jackson has come out and said she thinks her brother was murdered.
Yeah, duh. Duh. Not just Janet, but Joe has come out and more members of the family. And now the L.A. Police Commissioner is saying we're treating it as possible murder investigation. Well, duh. Duh. But of course, the only reason they did that, John, is they wanted to hold back because they need to extend the real news a little bit to cover up what is actually happening in the world.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility too.
And I'll be
so
happy
let's go
to
over some real news then that's happening in the world. Not real news, but news that's happening in the world.
Some actual news. Well, we kind of glossed over it last week, I hear the helicopters coming, by the way.
Are they black?
They're black. No, they're blue and they're Bulkovs. It's just the Dutch police. The news of the world has been caught, or it has come to light that they were tapping cell phones of, well, of course, what hits the news is they were tapping cell phones of celebrities. And, you wonder why News of the World always has the latest celebrity gossip first. News of the World is a Sunday newspaper publication in the United Kingdom, Gitmo Nation East, that does about 9 or 10 million copies on per Sunday, per week. And so they always have the latest news about celebrities and sports figures. But they were also tapping the phones and the text messages of a number of politicians. And, we kind of...
That's why you do it.
Yes. So, of course, the news is all focusing on, oh, my gosh, they know all this great stuff about Elle Macpherson. But what's really going on, and I have to say The Guardian has been all over this. You have to understand some of the connections. The conservative leader, David Cameron, so that's of the shadow government, as they call it, the opposition. His director of communications is Andy Coulson, spelled Coulson. And he was a deputy editor and editor of the News of the World at the time when this was taking place. And now Murdoch, because, of course, News of the World is part of The Sun, which is all part of the Murdoch empire. He's paying people off to the tune of £1 million to stop the court cases. And now I'm really starting to understand and connect all these dots, because these guys are blackmailing politicians. Murdoch, of course, owns most media in the world. And so when you have...
blackmailing politicians. Oh, yeah. That's why you do it. I keep saying, since the day they started initiating these wireless, these warrantless wiretaps, that's what it's all about. It's about blackmail and stock tips. It's not about terrorism.
Well, let's keep it on the stock tips for a second, because that's where it gets very interesting. I'll put these links in the show notes, obviously, at noagenda.mevio.com. You can find it at noagenda.squarespace.com, because it is connected to this code that was stolen from Goldman Sachs. This computer code, which actually has a name. They call it, I think, the Doomsday Box or something like that. Hold on.
Yeah. They would come up with something like that. Everybody's got a sense of humor.
My Russian sources, they always come up with good stuff. Hold on. For some reason, 8 million browser windows just opened, and that was kind of weird. Some kind of funny pop-up. I'm going to get this story for you. Wow.
Tracking Adam Curry pop-up.
Yeah. Tracking. We're in command. We've got him. We've got him now. You going, babe? No. Oh, I love you too. Sorry, it's my producer. Did you throw up in your mouth again?
Go on.
Okay, just hold on.
Keep digging where you're digging.
Okay, here we go. All right. So... it is called the Doomsday Box. So you have to understand that here's all these connections, and it eventually comes back to Murdoch. The Israeli opposition leader, former Mossad agent Zippy Levini.
T-Z-I-P-I.
Apparently turned over a complete dossier, which includes knowledge of this code, which was written by the ISA, which is the Israeli Security Forces or whatever it is.
Agency,
thank you. And so there's a lot of confirmation. And there's really good links in these articles that I'll put up in the show notes, including Bloomberg. about, here's a quote, never let it be said that the Justice Department can't move quickly when it gets a hot tip about an alleged crime at a Wall Street bank. It does help, though, if the party doing the complaining is the bank itself and not merely an aggrieved customer. Another plus is if the bank tells the Fed the security of the U.S. financial markets is at stake. This brings us to the strange tale of Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. and Sergei Alenikov. So Alenikov is the former Goldman computer programmer who was arrested on charges July 3rd that he stepped off a flight at Liberty International Airport in Newark, New Jersey, which was 2 days after Goldman told the government that he had stolen its secret rapid-fire stock and commodities trading software in early June. So, you know, obviously, and you know, the point is very clear that when the bank says to the feds, hey, man, he stole some code, I mean, normally you'd have like a normal path of investigation. But no, they get this guy within 2 days at the airport, right? They jump all over him because they know what's really going on. This code is now pretty much confirmed to be the black box that sits in the middle really before the trades are executed, and it was being used for this rapid fire trading where you can do a trade in a millisecond and make 0.5 cents, right? That, you know, 0.5 cents per trade. Now, of course, if you're doing computer trading, you can do 8 million of these trades a day. Then it starts to get a little bit more interesting. Or you could do 800 million of them. And what this does is it creates two things. One, it's very little incremental, you know, pieces of margin that you're making on these rapid-fire quick trades. And make no mistake, the computers that run on Wall Street are huge. I mean, this is just massive iron that they're running. But it also gives a fake sense of liquidity in a stock. Because when you hold a stock and you say, you know, I'm going to buy into the stock because look, there's like, you know, 80 million shares being traded every single day. But it's being done at a very, very, very small margin. So the Doomsday program, according to these articles, was created by the ISA programmers who were then working under chairman of the Israeli National Security Council, Dr. Uzi Arad. Let's see, who else was in this? His wife, Dr. Ruth Arad, Vice President, Chief Risk Officer of Bank Leumi, L-E-U-M-I, and Jacob Ezra Merkin, who bought the bank from the Israeli government, which was then headed up by Ariel Sharon, and Finance Minister Ehud Olmert. So what this comes back to is that Jacob Ezra Merkin gave this code or allowed access to it to his longtime business partner. Who could that be, John?
I know. Who do you think?
Bernard Madoff.
Huh.
And he used it for his own personal gain, you know, to take the $50 or $60
billion. So how long do you think Madoff's got to live?
Oh, he's going to go any minute now. He's going to be heart attacked within seconds. It's a new verb, by the way. You can get heart attack.
Actually, I don't think he's going to be the fake heart attack that we might be looking at with the Enron guy.
You don't think so?
No. When this kind of stuff starts coming out, and there's all kinds of, you know, connect the dot problems, you got to break the chain someplace. You know, it's just the way it is. Sorry, Bernard.
Hmm. Well, so anyway,
it'd be easier anyway to do it that way. You know, at this point, you know,
yeah, it depends. You know, he's got a lot of dough sitting around. And of course, he did send that money off. I would presume, and there's been lots of speculation that, you know, where did all the money go that he stole? Well, of course, he sent that to his buddies in Israel, I guess. Now Murdoch, of course, knows everything because he tapped everyone's phone calls. And probably everyone's phone calls around the world.
Yeah.
And
yeah, Murdoch's in the catbird seat.
He's reminding me
of the character
there.
In the James Bond movie.
Which one is that?
The one where this guy, this publisher tries to take over the world and he looks a little like Murdoch.
Interesting. Which movie was that?
It's a couple of movies ago. I think it was the last one. It was either the first one with the new guy, the last one done with what's his name? The British, that good-looking British actor who's irked that he got fired?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
Oh, we can't remember anything. It's pathetic.
I don't know anybody.
Somebody in this chat room, who is the name of the actor that, what was it? Somebody in the chat room must know this James Bond movie I'm talking about, and they can cite it.
So anyway, it seems
I don't think
like
this chat room really listens to us, by the way.
No, they're just sitting there bitching about how come Adam and John do the show together in the same location. They should have dinner together and record it. That's
Pierce
what
Brosnan.
About.
Ah, Pierce Brosnan, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Just take a look at the Obama administration. Take a look at all of the Goldman Sachs executives who are in there and have been in there, and how rampant it is. In fact, this report even says that economists around the world are now calling Wall Street the fourth branch of the government, which I think is kind of funny.
I like it. Well, here we go. Well, since we're on that topic, Fed refuses to disclose recipients of $2 trillion.
Well, they've been refusing that for months.
They're refusing now a new Bloomberg suit. But no, the big news is not that so much as that is the – where is it? It's the fact that they tried to slip in a audit the Fed.
Right. Oh, right. And they tried to attach it to another bill?
Yeah, and it's just no, ain't going to happen. This whole thing ain't going to happen.
Well, they do have enough to pass the House, but I guess what I did not know is even if you have like 280 people or whatever who have co-sponsor a bill, it still has to be introduced, right? And that Nancy Pelosi would have to introduce this bill. How does that work, John? I mean,
no, they've kept the writer out of the bill. By the way, it's Tomorrow Never Dies seems to be the movie.
But tell me, how do you get a bill onto the floor of the House? I mean, is this like some magical process?
No, it goes through it. First, it's written up, and then it goes through a committee, and then the committee has to submit it to the House, and then the House has to accept it, and that's done through various. It's just a bureaucracy until it gets to the floor, and then when it gets to the floor, it gets voted on after debate.
Okay, so but it
takes a long time, by the way.
Can it take years and years?
Committee is where all the action is. It's the committees, the committees, the committees. The committees are the ones who make the decision whether it's going to be put out or not. And it usually gets, you always hear the thing, killed in committee. Because the committee just says, no, we're not going to do it. And when you have it, then the committee's dominated by the party in charge, so it'd be all, so the committee maybe had nine people, and it's five Democrats and four Republicans, or six Democrats and three Republicans, and if the Democrats don't want the bill to go out, boom, stays, it's killed in committee.
Well, that's kind of a weird process.
That's a good process. It slows things down as much as it can.
Doesn't that
the problem is there's all these people adding things to the bill at the end.
Right.
The bill comes out of committee. It's a fine bill. And then people start slipping in the bullshit.
Right. Well, how come this can't be slipped in as bullshit on some other bill?
They're going to try. But it's obviously if it can't get slipped into as bullshit on this bill, it's going to be just as hard to be slipped into as bullshit on any bill. It's not going to happen.
That's so disappointing. Our system clearly doesn't work.
Well, no, that part doesn't work. It's corrupt. It does work if it wasn't for corrupt politicians and the fix is in, and the fact that the whole country is being run by public relations departments. You know, the only thing that's actually saved us is the fact that with the public relations departments, which were at just before the internet came along and the web started taking over, essentially the public relations departments of all these large corporations were writing the newspapers. Newspaper people weren't reporting on anything.
You're so right.
But now they can't do that anymore because they don't know who's the movers and shakers out there. I mean, when's the last time you were called by a public relations person regarding this show? They don't even know it exists.
So along those very lines,
we, by the way, have an audience as big as most newspapers. So they're screwed up.
And we actually make money. We're not actually losing money on the deal. We have to beg for it, but we do make some.
Yeah, I mean, we're not losing $1 million a week.
So,
like our local paper in San Francisco,
Carrie, our New York research department, Carrie Lutz, sent it to you as well, John, an article that ran in the New York Post, which of course is a tabloid newspaper. But in these days, I would say that you'll probably get more real news from the tabloid newspapers than you'll get from any other source, which of course they're the only ones that can actually print it because it's so outrageous that it gets written off as crazy talk.
Yeah.
The title of this is Gag the Internet. Apparently, Cass Sunstein, a Harvard Law professor who has been appointed to a post within the Obama administration that will grant him powers, as the article says, that are merely mind-boggling. It explicitly supports using the courts to impose a chilling effect on speech that might hurt someone's feelings. So this is how he's working on stifling free speech on the internet.
It's a good effect. It might work.
It might. He has a new book which is coming out. Advanced copies, of course, were read by the journalist who wrote this article. His book is called "On Rumors: How Falsehoods Spread, Why We Believe Them, What Can Be Done." It's going out to reviewers ahead of its September publication date, but considering the prominence with which Sunstein is about to be endowed, and he has been chosen by President Obama to head the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. John, finally, the Ministry of Truth. It's here.
It's about time.
The White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. This has been reported in the Wall Street Journal, but of course it's you haven't really heard about this because we're more concerned with Michael Jackson's murder. And let me see if I can find – here we go. He worries, that's Sunstein, that we're headed for a future in which, quote, people's beliefs are a product of social networks working as echo chambers in which false rumors spread like wildfire. That future, though already here, according to Sunstein, we hardly need to imagine a world, however, in which people and institutions are being harmed by the rapid spread of damaging falsehoods via the internet. We live in that world. What might be done to reduce the harm? Well, he questions the libel standard. Basically, it comes down to a notify and take
that,
down.
That puts you and myself in the driver's seat when it comes to some of those early lawsuits.
Yeah, well.
You know, it's always somebody saying something nasty about us.
Yeah, right.
And it hurts my feelings. It hurts my feelings.
My feelings are so freaking hurt, John. What he's going for is a libel. So a system of notify and takedown. So we'll have takedown notices for untruths on the internet. So if you write an untruth, notify and takedown.
What are you going to do? This is going to be the government dole because they're going to have to hire millions of people to do this. I want a job.
I got to study some law. I got to pass the bar. I got to get into some kind of law program.
Takedown notice for. And by the way, how does that work with global warming?
Well, of course, you know, if you say that global warming doesn't exist, you'll get a takedown notice.
Yeah.
You'll get a total takedown notice. We were talking about, what's her name? The weird chick who was testifying. We had a sound clip of her last time.
Janine Garofalo?
She looks a bit like Janine Garofalo, but no, that's not the one. The other one.
The Lisa Jackson.
Lisa Jackson, yeah. And I'm just skimming through my email to find this clip. How come I can't find this now? Let me just search for it. So apparently 2 years ago, the Supreme Court passed a ruling that said that the EPA, which she now heads, would be allowed to create legislation to stop greenhouse gases. And but there were several other memos that basically said there's no science to support that greenhouse gases are creating, you know, global warming. And I can't believe that maybe this wasn't the same hearing, John, that you pulled the clip from, but I have a YouTube video here and it's
Wait a minute, I want to mention something that you have to add to this to give you more background. There's also a proviso within that scenario you described, that she, the head of the EPA, or any head of the EPA, not just her, can define, and they talked about this in these hearings, can define anything as a greenhouse gas if they want to, you know.
Yes.
So you could, which you know, means helium could be a greenhouse gas.
Well, I think CO2 pretty much covers most things since that's the shit we're exhaling when we breathe. So I think they did a pretty good job.
There's going to be a tax on that. You're going to have to hold your breath.
And in fact, that's where the saying will come from. Don't hold your breath.
There you go.
So there's a smoking gun memo, and Barrasso actually questions her on it. And I think we should listen to a little bit of this clip. Stop me when it gets too much for you, John.
I appreciated Senator Whitehouse's comments that we need lawful, fact-based regulation. And I appreciate the...
So this is Barrasso speaking.
Ms. Jackson's comments that she wanted to make sure that we did this without overburdening small businesses and others.
Okay.
And that brings to my concern and the question, Ms. Jackson, about the EPA recent proposal finding greenhouse gases, as you said, are a danger to the public health and welfare.
I know why, John. This is actually from May, this hearing. So I guess we missed this one altogether. It's the Environment and Public Works Committee.
It really appears to me that that decision was based more on political calculation than on scientific ones. In a memo that I received this morning, and it's marked deliberative attorney-client privilege, 9 pages. You are mentioned on every page of this memo. It is a White House memo. Counsel in this administration repeatedly questions the lack of scientific support that you have for this proposed finding. It's here, 9 pages. This is a smoking gun, saying that your findings were political, not scientific. Not scientific. Here, page 2. There is concern that the EPA is making a finding based on harm from substances that have no demonstrated direct health effects.
I love that.
Such as respiratory or toxic effects. You then talk about regulating greenhouse gases and the economy. Dow Jones Newswire this morning, U.S. regulation of greenhouse gases such as carbon dioxide, quote, is likely to have serious economic consequences for businesses small and large across the economy. That's what a White House memo warned the Environmental Protection Agency earlier this year. Here it is, making the decision to regulate carbon dioxide under the Clean Air Act for the first time is likely to have serious economic consequences for regulated entities throughout the U.S. economy, including small businesses and small communities.
This is really important stuff because people don't realize what's being voted on and how it will indeed completely tank every single company because of the high prices of energy costs, which will include just turning lights on.
How do you square that when you say, don't want any overriding effect on the economy of small businesses? But this own internal document, marked deliberative attorney-client privilege, says everything you're proposing is going to have serious economic consequences
for
our businesses in this nation. Charlie Munger, who was the Warren Buffett's partner at Berkshire Hathaway, he was recently on CNBC. He said an artificial market and government-mandated carbon credits would be, quote, monstrously stupid to do right now. He added that the move is almost demented, considering other nations' intention to continue industrial development emitting vast amounts of greenhouse gases. I could go on, but I am fascinated to see what you have been saying and yet to see what the White House has been writing and where you're on every page. Would you like to comment?
Certainly, I'd like to comment, Senator.
Is she Latina?
It's hard. She's mixed. You can't tell. She's like she looks like she kind of has a I don't know. She's maybe half black, half Latin, or Puerto Rican. She might be Puerto Rican. I don't know.
Hey,
Jackson's her last name. Could be anything.
Your voice just went up like 4 octaves. That's pretty cool. How do you do that? Is someone in the house downloading porn again?
No. Might be something going on. Anyway.
You sound horrible.
Do I? Just all of a sudden?
You went up 3 octaves, I swear to God. I wish you could hear it.
Well, let me see what I've got going, and maybe there's something downloading. Nope. Well, I just sound like this all the time now.
I like it. We'll keep. What did you do with the real Dvorak? Who are you?
I've got him. I've captured Mr. Dvorak. All humans must die.
I don't have that document in front of me, so I'll comment generally on
Madam
any
Chair,
of the issues you bring up.
May I just inquire if the senator intends to make that document a matter of record?
Hell yeah.
Though I'd ask unanimous consent.
With your permission, Madam Chairman, I would be happy to do that.
That way we all know what we're talking about.
Oh, she makes a face. Oh, man, you just want to hate her.
About and. I appreciate it.
She's a horrible person.
Yes, she is.
Objection will be in
I'm sorry if I hurt her feelings by saying that.
Oh, you could get a takedown notice for saying that, dude.
I will answer briefly, Senator, because I suspect we will have this discussion many times. I disagree with several of the characterizations. The first is that the endangerment finding is a scientific finding mandated by law, mandated by the Supreme Court.
Which, by the way, is not true. Because if you look at the documents, and I'll put those in the show notes as well, the Supreme Court actually did not say you have to make regulations. They said it says, well, you know, you could if you wanted to, but it has to be based on scientific fact, which, of course, what the big dispute is.
The Supreme Court ruled 2 years ago that EPA owed the American people a determination as to whether greenhouse gases, either in whole or individually, endanger public health and welfare. That analysis had been done really before I took the oath of office.
Oh, that all happened with someone else. I wasn't a part of that. Wir haben es nicht gewusst.
We did review it, as I promised to do at my confirmation hearing. We reviewed the science of it.
We reviewed the science. You look like a scientist, Miss Jackson.
We went through...
Like a what?
She doesn't know anything. I don't know. You know, she used to be the head. She got the job because she was the head of the New Jersey. She worked with the governor's office or something. She was the head of the New Jersey Air Board for a while or something like that. So she somehow, I don't know how they picked her, but it was ridiculous. And I'll tell you this. I used to work at one of my many jobs. Of course, I was an air pollution inspector.
Hold on, John. Hold on a second. And now something really weird is going on because... First of all, the voice is killing me. Second of all, you even look like you're offline on Skype. You're.
Oh no, I'm on invisible, but that I do that. That's
okay. Well,
because I can change that.
Go uninvisible for a second, and let me call you back because this is not okay.
All right.
Make sure that you're not. Can I still call you? There you go. All right. Say something.
And yes, you can. By the way, you can call me when I'm invisible.
Let's try it right now. All right, you're back, and the question was, who is this Lisa Jackson?
Yeah, she was like the head of the New Jersey Air Board for a while, and she's a bureaucrat. And I don't think she even has a science degree or anything, so I don't know why she's the head of the EPA. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. There's probably plenty of very qualified people, but they've got this woman. But the Jersey connection is always a little sketchy.
Hey, like I said, go easy on Jersey, man. Go easy.
Just saying. So I worked for the air pollution district as a young man, and we had some guys from Jersey that were part of the – and they said that basically, essentially, when they went out and did their job in Jersey, were air pollution guys, it was all payoffs and buyout. You know, there was no real work. Yeah. It was all, you know, grease. And so now this is the woman coming from a story.
She's brand new, right? She was just appointed the new head of the FDA. EPA. She's really reasonably new, isn't she?
Yeah, she's brand new. She's Obama's man. And
and man she is.
And I just don't trust her. Yeah. And I don't like her. I don't like the smugness. I don't think a government servant should be talking down to everybody the way she does. She's incredibly glib and smug and arrogant. She's creepy.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to some more of that glibness.
Agency review through the White House. So, again, I'm not sure what that document may say. It's deliberative, so obviously it's people's opinions.
It's people's opinions.
It does not mean regulation. I have said over and over, as has the president, that we do understand that there are costs to the economy of addressing global warming emissions, and that the best way to address them is through a gradual move to a market-based program like cap and trade.
Oh my God. Ugh.
There's a difference between a cap and trade program, which can be authorized by legislation and is being discussed, and a regulatory program. With respect to EPA's regulatory authority, it is true that if the endangerment finding is final,
the endangerment finding, you gotta love it.
EPA would have authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions, and what I've said in that regard is that we would be judicious, we would be deliberative, we would follow science, we would follow the law, and I would call your attention to our greenhouse gas registry rule, where we particularly didn't look for small businesses to register or have to report emissions. If you want an indication of where we know the significant sources of greenhouse gases are, they're in transportation and the utility sector.
So what she's saying is she's actually turning it around, and she's saying, oh, well, you know, the small businesses won't have to pay for cap and trade. But she's avoiding the point, which is the whole cap and trade program will raise energy prices to an extreme degree. That's what she's
avoiding.
Oh,
make it impossible for any, yeah. Well, this is because she, you know, I don't know if she's being insincere or she's an idiot. I'm not absolutely sure, one of the two. But there's an article that people should try to track down. I'll send you, make sure it'll be in the show notes, which is the Telegraph's article on July 11th, 2009, just came out. Climate Change, the Sun and the Oceans Do Not Lie by Christopher Booker. And he goes on and on and on what about crock that this seems to be, especially the cap and trade. But he makes, let me just read this, a very funny first paragraph. The moves now being made by the world's political establishment to lock us into December's Copenhagen Treaty to halt global warming are as alarming as anything that's happened in our lifetimes. And last week in Italy, the various branches of our emerging world government, G8 and G20, agreed in principle that the world must by 2050 cut its CO2 emissions in half. Britain and the U.S. are already committed to cutting their fossil fuels by more than 80%. Short of an unimaginable technological revolution, this could only be achieved by closing down virtually all of our economic activity. Yeah. No electricity, no transport, no industry. All of this is being egged on by a gigantic publicity machine, by the UN, by serried ranks of government-funded scientists, by cheerleaders such as Al Gore. Last week, comparing the fight against global warming to that against Hitler's Nazis.
Go Telegraph.
And by politicians who have no idea what they are setting in train. This makes it this even odder that the runaway warming predicted by their computer models simply isn't happening. This, by the way, is being pointed out only by – there's somebody the other day that said, you know, right-wing talk radio listeners get this kind of information, then it never goes into the mainstream, and people are always baffled. That, and they cite like the Duke University student fake rape charges that everybody knew was phony that listens to real news, but the New York Times was still promoting running these kids out of school, and it's just typical. This particular stuff right now, I'm hearing a lot about it. They have not been able to confirm any warming whatsoever over the past 5 or 6 years, and there's no sea level rising.
In
there's
fact,
nothing going
there
on.
There are 30,000 scientists who are, and led by the guy who started the Weather Channel, who are suing Al Gore and the UN about the so-called science of global warming. You don't even hear about that.
No, of course not. Why would you?
30,000, of which 8,000 are PhDs. 30,000.
Nope. You too bad. You know, I want to get that Janine Garofalo clip so we can play it over and over and over again.
Which one is that?
Where she says the Janine Garofalo clip that we played a couple of weeks ago, where she says everybody's in total agreement about this.
Okay, hold on. I can find it. I know I can find it.
Everybody's in total agreement. Everybody.
Sure. Yeah, everybody. Yeah, we played that. That was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's back there. We need to get a database for some of these. Because the one I really want to play over and over is Jobs. Yay!
Jobs. She, you know what, Janine Garofalo, I think she's just misguided. You know, she's not a shill. She's just dumb.
She is dumb.
Want to listen to a little bit more of Miss Jackson?
Oh, yeah, I might as well.
Don't call me nasty.
One last quick question, Madam Chairman, if I could. Could you please explain then by what authority can the EPA decide to not include all of these other emitters of carbon dioxide who do reach the emission thresholds set out in the Clean Air Act? I mean, how can anyone in your administration decide where to draw that line? The
Good
law,
question.
As you just said,
Good
is
question.
Clear. So how do you not go after everyone or expose yourself to lawsuits for all of those others?
Senator, thanks. I know this has been an issue that we've gone back and forth on. It's one I look forward to having continued dialogue.
Oh, typical spin answer. Oh, God. We'll keep going on back and forth then.
If it comes to that point, where we're into a regulatory mode on greenhouse gas emissions. I will say only the following two things. I'm not prepared here to outline the legal strategy. Certainly it would be one of the things we would propose as part of a regulatory agenda. The second thing I would say is to remind you that we, under the Clean Air Act, have the potential to regulate all those sources you talk about.
Yeah, we can regulate everybody, including your fart, Senator.
Now, for other contaminants, schools and hospitals and farms and Dunkin' Donuts. And
did she just say Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she did.
Let's listen to that again.
Now, for other contaminants, schools and hospitals and farms and Dunkin' Donuts.
I say short Dunkin' Donuts.
And we don't.
I'll tell you this. Well, either that or she's shilling for Dunkin' Donuts. I would be skeptical here because if the Sarah Palin could get busted for wearing a logo on her shirt, why is this woman plugging Dunkin' Donuts?
And why? And she doesn't even come up with it. You know, if you're using an example, you almost like will pause for a second. But it rolls right off her tongue like she's been talking about it. And Dunkin' Donuts, indeed.
And Dunkin' Donuts. And we don't. Because we make regulations smartly address the threats in the best way possible and with an eye towards understanding that we don't want to unduly affect those who can least afford to pay. So I do believe that the regulatory process allows us the opportunity to make those decisions and to do it, but we're not at that point yet.
Thank you.
Okay. As we move on to more crackpot news.
Oh, should we have a little interlude, John? Something that I picked up on YouTube, which I think is well worth playing a little piece of. This is.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's a little bit of music for you, everybody.
Put the needle on the record, put the needle on the record, put the needle on the record when the drum beats go like this.
The only way that a human being can get a bird flu or a swine flu is if it is injected in them.
This is a Trillion featuring Pataphysics and NRT. It's called Say No to the Vaccine.
Oh, God.
It's a great clip.
I put the needle to the record because the needle is defective and the needle breaks the record when the needle is the method for prevention of the fever, bringing death to the receiver. There's no effort in believing that the method.
All right, okay.
You got to listen to the lyrics. You got to see the video. We'll put it in the show
notes. Make sure that's in the show notes.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of stuff going on. I mean, it's going beyond crackpot. The vaccination stuff is by the way we are aware that we talked about when we had that woman do her pitch about what the government's going to do, that she is an anti-vaccination person running an anti-vaccination site. Our concern is that, or at least mine is the site is so slick.
Well, not only that, but the site is registered.
It looks like a honeypot to me.
I have to agree. A lot of people are saying, you should do your research. The MVIC, it's an anti-vaccination organization. Yeah, it's an anti-vaccination organization. Two things I don't like. Three things. One is it's very, very slick. Two, it really doesn't have a donation page. Now, I don't know a lot. I mean, Jesus Christ, we asked for we got big star buttons to click on for our donations. They don't really have a donation page anywhere. You have to really go to the site overview, and somewhere hidden in it, there's like, here's how you can donate $25.
Which makes no sense at all.
They're asking you to post your personal information. Yeah, they say they won't do anything with it, but they do ask you to post it. And third, they're registered in Virginia. Okay? Now, why are they in Virginia? Home of all spooks, I might add.
Right.
Why are they registered
all
in Virginia?
All things
spooks
are in Virginia.
Spook is in Virginia. You know, if you're going to set up a nonprofit, wouldn't you want to set it up in anywhere but Virginia? It just doesn't seem like the right place to do it. And I'm very, very concerned about, the stuff they're asking people to give them, the information that they're requesting. So,
let's point out again, it's extremely slick. It doesn't seem to be really begging for money like you'd think. There's something amiss. Now, she may be the most sincere person in the world. She could be very much into what she says she's into. But I'm just not happy with what I'm seeing. And so we're skeptical, that's all.
Yeah.
But we're not idiots. Oh, you don't do your research. Oh, or my favorite, you're not doing your homework.
Your homework.
Hey, I'm not in college. I'm not in high school. I don't do homework.
Oh, John.
my favorite new jingle.
You will obey.
You will take,
obey.
You will take the shot. A form of the Ebola virus has been detected in pigs for the first time, raising concerns it could mutate and pose a new risk to humans, reports the BBC. The Ebola Reston virus.
Everything's going to mutate and kill us all.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, we need to have a backup plan. You know, if people don't go for the swine flu, Ebola already has kind of that deathly thing to it.
Oh yeah, Ebola's bad.
Yeah, researchers are concerned that pigs might provide a melting pot where the virus could mutate into something more menacing for humans. Hey, BBC, how's it feel being on the payroll of the CIA? The new discovery in the Philippines is featured in the Journal of Science. Is that a real publication, the Journal of Science?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a big one.
However, the researchers from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention stress that the virus, at present, appears to pose no risk to humans. Right.
It's just a setup. It's the setup. It's the pre, you know, you telegraph your blow. It's code.
Yeah, you're right. Got a great report from Abel, I don't even know if he wants me to mention his name. No, he doesn't say anything. I'd just like to read this for a second, and I really appreciate he wrote it in English. It's not his native tongue. And he gives us a report from Buenos Aires, Argentina. You know, so he loved the show, blah, blah, blah. You guys are crazy, but you're spot on. I'm from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Everything here is the same, only on a smaller scale. The mass media is mainly controlled by one big multimedia. They own the largest newspaper, TV channel, news cable channel, two cable networks, and an ISP, among other things. Now, if you start wondering if allowing such a concentration was a good idea, yes. And they focus on drilling their political opinion. Real news, of course, Michael Jackson is the big story. Britney Spears also shooting a new video. And, of course, putting as much fear into the people as possible. The fear comes mainly in the form of crime news. But now a new star is born in Buenos Aires, swine flu. We had election a few weeks ago. The flu was a minor story on TV and papers. But when elections was old news, the swine flu hit the big time. It's called influenza A here, as the suffix H1N1 is too long for the idiots on TV here. The rest of the news banging is staggering. People are freaking out. Some stuff is out of stock, like cleaning gel with alcohol and surgical masks. But this is not the worst. Remember, this is a report from Buenos Aires, okay? So this is a report from a real producer listener who listens to this show. One of your colleagues. This is not the worst. Schools and universities have been suspended for a couple of weeks now to avoid the transmission risk. Cinemas and theaters are closing as well. The general idea, you catch this flu, you die. The number of victims is also sketchy. The official count right now is about 80, but hey, a lot of people die here. Most people die here. Poor people die of hunger. A country with 10,000 yearly deaths just from car accidents. Bear in mind the total population is only 40 million. A country where dozens die from dengue. Yes, of course, these are very poor people in the north, close to the border with Bolivia and Paraguay. Paraguay, of course, where the Bushes are going to move to. So no one gives a shit about them. Besides, the danger stares there. It doesn't spread or threaten good and remote cities like Buenos Aires. The media rarely, if ever, covers these deaths. Yeah, good cities. In conclusion, we don't even need a compulsive vaccination. People will happily form queues and pay for it. Nothing like a nice and feared middle-class asshole. The people behind all this count on them. Last topic, Monsanto. I won't bore you with the details. Monsanto has a legal dispute with our country claiming royalties for the GM soybeans as they didn't have much luck here. They tried to get it in Europe from the buyers. Keep up the good shows. I'm going to go with a $24 yearly subscription. Hey, I'm from South America after all. Abel, thank you very much. We highly, highly appreciate your report. Very, very important, this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is. We need more stuff like that. Meanwhile, Bill Gates is in the news. This is borderline real news story.
Oh,
you might want to. You might. So apparently, some patent watchers found that Bill Gates has reportedly filed several patents aimed to stop hurricanes. Gates and other inventors plan to use large fleets of vessels to mix warm Gulf of Mexico surface water with colder water under the surface. Conduits would extend from one vessel beyond the ocean's thermocline, which is an invisible line separating the warmer mixed layer of waters closer to the surface from the cooler and calmer water that is seen further below.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's like, isn't this tampering with Mother Nature?
Well, yeah,
maybe
he
should be. Shouldn't he be doing carbon swap outs or something to even do this or even talk about it? I don't know.
Well, I think the whole joke, of course, is that the government has the ability to control the weather. They've had it for many, many, many years.
Oh, here we go.
And well, please, please once again go look at the weather maps on September 11th, 2001. You'll see that there was a huge hurricane just off the coast of New York. No one ever talks about it. I mean, a huge one. And right after the attacks, the buildings came down. It went away. This is what HAARP is, of course. H-A-A-R-P. Go Google that. They have this capability to create hurricanes, so I presume that they also have the capability to divert them or destroy them. So I don't know why Gates is doing this. And
You think he'd know better.
Yeah.
So here's another story. I couldn't. This one here is a classic. This ran in the blog, dvorak.org/blog. Uncle Dave found it. I thought it was a classic. This you probably haven't heard this one yet. Recovery.gov. By the way, they never bothered to get recovery.org because they're too dumb. Recovery.gov is going to cost a. They're going to make it, or they're going to redo the site, and they're going to redo a site, a website.
Oh wait,
they're going to drop $18 million.
Who has been awarded this contract, John?
I wish it was me.
Yeah, we could set up a Squarespace site in seconds and make it really rock.
The contract calls for spending 9.5 million through January. In other words, they're going to drop 10 million in 6 months for a website. What is this? Is our new? This happened? Has this got something to do with Obama's superstar? You know, tech guy that's the czar of tech.
Well,
you know,
this
what
is this
the deal here? This is like you can find three coders in a basement that can do a better job than these guys are going to do, and it's going to cost you like nothing, a couple $100,000 max.
John, you've got to go to the website of the company that was awarded this contract, smarttronics.com, Sierra Mike Alpha Romeo Tango Romeo Oscar November India X-Ray. And, this is like a total militaristic site.
NetOps, providing net-centric enterprise services to operate, defend, and assure the global information grid.
Oh, my
Smarttronics.
Smarttronics. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. They actually have two sites. They got one spelled with a C and one spelled with an X.
Well, it's the one with the X.
That's the parent site, according to this thing.
Wow.
So these guys, here it is. Smarttronics is honored to have been selected as the GSA Alliant Prime.
GSA,
wow.
GSA, GSA. This is GSA.
Government
is like,
services.
Yeah.
But it's GSA Alliant Prime. It's not, what is this, a science fiction novel? What are they coming up with these names?
John.
Play the You Will Obey thing again. It's a.
Hold on. Yeah, we definitely need that. Hold on. Let me get to it.
The GSA Alliant Prime in support of recovery.gov, a formal press release will soon to follow. Not one newspaper has picked up on the fact that this is a fiasco.
$18 million?
$18 million to do a website?
Enterprise software solutions, but they're like what is NetOps? So they do
NetOps.
Smarttronics
provides. They got a lot of interesting Ajax on this site.
Yeah,
I mean it's not like they know what they're doing, but they also obviously know what they're doing in terms of design. Except the way they switch pages could be better, but they know what they're kind of doing in terms of design, but they obviously really know what they're doing when it comes to working within the government framework.
Let's see what jobs are available. C&D lead analyst.
Two nerds at minimum wage to do the site.
Here, web developer. Here we go, web developer. They're hiring one guy.
That's all you need. That's the point.
We're looking for a developer that has 2 or more years experience in web development that includes at least 1 year experience in application development for SharePoint. Oh, God.
SharePoint?
Yeah, they're building on ASP.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Jeez. $18 million. So the initial outlay, which will be $9,516,324. Oh, why don't you put 75 cents in there as well? Covers many facets. Redesign and construction of a new website, installation of hardware and software infrastructure, hosting and operations for the website, more robust data storage, an enhanced content management system, and contract labor support and other features. If the recovery board exercises options under the contract, the cost could total $17,948,518 over a period ending in January 2014. Oh my God. This is cool. With the assistance of GSA, said Earl E. Devaney, the recovery board chairman, we proceeded in a careful fashion to find the best value for the taxpayer dollar.
Unbelievable.
He went on
the
to say
best value.
He went on to say, in the end, this website, above all else, must be user-friendly and provide the public with necessary information on how its money is being spent.
Unbelievable. This is the scam of the decade.
Oh my God! And was this, was this an open? Was there an open tender for this? Could we have put in our Squarespace skills? I mean, please. Go to noagenda.squarespace.com and tell me we couldn't have built a great recovery.gov site with the Squarespace technology or WordPress.
WordPress.com.
Free. You can get free hosting even.
Yes. They'd love to do the government site.
Oh, here it is. Devaney and the 12 inspectors general who comprise the recovery board, let's find out who they are in a minute, describe the contract as firm fixed and competitively bid for operations and maintenance, providing a full solution package to include develop the next generation of recovery.gov, which will be visually pleasing, user-friendly, and highly interactive. Dude, we wrote this crap in 1997, and we scammed companies then. Here, a mapping capacity that allows users to search for spending all the way down to their own neighborhoods. Oh, it's called Geo Information Services, douche. The capacity to store and easily download massive amounts of data. A state-of-the-art security platform that will protect the integrity and the availability of the data and a backup system in the event of a major catastrophe such as 9/11 or a large-scale power outage. Contract support to perform a wide array of hosting, maintenance, and operational services.
Why did they mention out of the blue a large-scale power outage? That's not in the conversation.
Or 9/11 type event. Here's the board. Let me see who's on this frickin' board. Who are these people? Members. Who are the members of this board? The Honorable... Oh, my God, John. Oh, jeez. You got to see
where
these...
Where are you getting that? I'm getting it
from recovery.gov. Here's the link.
Oh, the board. I see it.
The Honorable Earl E. Devaney, who looks like a judge in a hick town where you get arrested for speeding.
He does, and he's proud of that look.
Okay, what is his deal? He was
he's leading the board.
Yeah, but
what's
his background? Oh, I'm going to now.
I'm going to read more. You're now exiting the recovery.gov website. You will now access something or other.
It's a site that doesn't work. Doing.gov?
No, that guy came up.
DOIOIG.gov? That
works
for
working.
You?
Oh, I have no idea what that is. It's the Department of something. Here he is. Here's a picture of him.
Oh my goodness.
You have to click on that link when that thing comes up.
Yeah, I did.
He's a law enforcement guy, police officer.
Yeah, there you go, for some hick town where you get
Well, he's from some hick town in Massachusetts.
Oh my goodness.
Graduated from Franklin and Marshall College in 1970 with a degree in government. He became a special agent with the United States Secret Service.
There you go.
So he's the head guy?
Yep.
He's the director of the Office of Criminal Enforcement.
Hey, go
so
to...
they're going
to
have a real user-friendly site to be taking names and numbers.
Oh.
He oversaw all the EPA's criminal investigations.
Dude,
these are all
law enforcement people. Look at them.
Yeah, what's this got to do with recovery? Why aren't we having economists?
None of them is an economist. They're all Treasury
Inspector General of Homeland Security is one of them. The Inspector General of the Department of the Agriculture, Fong. What's that got to do with recovery? I don't know necessarily.
Well, check out the Honorable J. Russell
Inspector
George.
General. These are all Inspector Generals. These are all cops.
Yeah, this guy, Russell George, he was nominated by George W. Bush as the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. Prior to this role, Mr. George served as the Inspector General of the Corporation for National and Community Service. Oh, my goodness. Mary Mitchelson, she looks kind of like Esther Dyson.
She looks more like John Markoff.
And then Mary L. Kendall, who could be hot if she had a different hairdo and a big rack.
Well, she also has her neck is too thick.
She's also an attorney for federal... It's all law enforcement. That's really weird.
That's totally weird. Why is recovery.org, which is supposed to tell you all these things,
.gov.
I'm sorry. .org is probably a better one, which is somebody else has, I suppose. Check it out.
The board
why,
has...
What's,
go ahead.
This is fishy. Now you got $18 million going in. Now I know where the money is. They always need $18 million for all the law enforcement that's going to be going on. So anyone who goes to recovery.gov and looks up something, they're going to be tracked like a dog.
Fuck yeah. Hey, at least they're being transparent.
Yeah, the guys are there. At least they don't have mysterious board members.
So, hello, news organizations, mainstream media. Would you mind for just a minute focusing on this and looking at the ridiculous? You know, there is infrastructure. You don't need new... why does this site have to be so secure? You know, it doesn't.
It's an information site. It's a brochure.
Look at all the links at the bottom, John. What is this? USA.gov, GobiernoUSA.gov, USAspending.gov, Grants.gov, FedBizOps.gov, GovLoans.gov, Benefits.gov. What the?
They're spending $1 million in logo design.
What the hell is this stuff?
Look at this Grants.gov logo. This thing costs money. That's not a cheap logo. GovernmentLoans.gov. That's a nice logo, too. That costs money. I can believe me. I can see a logo that costs money. This wasn't done by one of the members of the committee.
Can we get a grant? Let's go to grants.gov. Can we get a grant?
We should. I think let's see if we can get a grant. Maybe that'll get us to shut up.
Yeah. We will go away if you give us enough money. Find, apply, succeed. Grants.gov is your source to find and apply for federal government grants.
This wow. bullshit about you're exiting this website. You're exiting the website. I hate that. Yeah, I know I'm exiting the website. That's the way the web works, you idiots.
Keyword search. Okay, let's say keyword search should be, what's our search?
Money. Search grants.
No, grants.
By the way, this site, this looks like it was done by one of these agents, one of these companies.
Oh,
that,
John,
this
is John, 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 I put in grants. It comes up with, did you mean grannies? No results found. Please rephrase your query.
No results found for grants at grants.gov?
Let me try conspiracy. Hold on. Conspiracy. Let's see if that comes up with anything. Conspiracy. Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness.
What? Well, okay. You went to Google.
At the grant site. We can get opportunity title. Liberia Civil Society and Media Project, Community Prevention of Mother-to-Child Transmission. Yeah, that's conspiracy, all right. Empowering Pakistan, Water and Sanitation Program. These are all part. These will come up under conspiracy.
I don't get anything when I type in conspiracy.
While you're looking at the right place?
No, I don't know. You hit the search thing at the top.
No, here. No. Here, I'm doing the grant search. There's the link.
Oh, okay. Grant search.
Basic search. And I put in conspiracy. And I get all this whacked out crap.
So you under keyword, you put conspiracy there?
Yeah, under the basic search. Wow.
Okay. I'm looking at that. Wow.
Bangladesh HIV AIDS follow-on activity, local governance, civil society partnership to improve capacity for service delivery. This is some serious money out there that we should be able to get.
Sure looks like it.
But this is all Nigeria, Thailand.
Yeah, we're sending money to Nigeria. Local governance, civil society partnerships to improve capacity for service delivery.
Oh, right, here.
So the post office gets the letter?
Here we go. Prepare for pandemic preparedness.
Where's this? Which page?
Hold on, I'll send you.
Are you on page one still or two?
No, I already went further. I'll send you the link. There it is. The synopsis for this grant opportunity is detailed below. Eligible applicants, others. Okay, to be eligible for the cooperative agreement under this RFA, an organization must be a U.S.-based institution. Blah, 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 blah. Description, the USAID is launching a coordinated comprehensive program designed to minimize the impact of specific newly emergent diseases of animal origin, which pose a significant threat to human health and development. The program must be managed by the USAID Avian and Pandemic Influenza Unit. Huh? USAID will closely work with international host governments, USG, and private sector entities to coordinate activities and ensure that USAID... Who is this USAID?
That's an economic hitman.
Is that a company, USAID?
It's an agency or something. I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, as far as I know, every time I see it, it's... In fact,
it's the United States. Here it is, USAID.gov. Oh, man. USAID from the American people. This is money we're giving away. The U.S. Yeah. Agency for International Development.
Yeah, that's what it is. This is the economic hitman that we've talked about in the past. That's what this is. What is this web? Oh, I'm looking at USAID.com. It's funny. Nice move. I don't know why the government doesn't grab these ancillary.
What is USAID?
These sites, by the way, are crappy.
You know what? These are $18 million websites, John. This is not just any old site.
It's unbelievable.
The U.S. Agency for International Development is an independent agency, that provides economic,
like the Fed,
development and humanitarian assistance around the world in support of the foreign policy goals of the United States. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, economic hitmen. There you go.
Yeah. Which is fine. We have, our foreign policy. I mean, we are. I don't have a problem with it.
A record of accomplishment. More than 3 million lives saved or created every year through U.S. through the U.S. aid immunization programs.
Stop.
I made that up.
Oh, you did.
But it does say more than 3 million lives are saved every year through U.S. aid immunization programs, i.e. pharma testing. 80,000 people and $1 billion in the U.S. and Filipino assets were saved due to early warning equipment installed by USAID that warned that the Mount Pinatubo volcano was about to erupt in 1991. Huh?
That's it?
Oral rehydration therapy.
Is that the best we can come up with?
Oral rehydration therapy. A low-cost and easily administered solution developed through USAID programs in Bangladesh is credited with saving tens of millions of lives around the globe. Yeah, I'll give you some oral hydration. Come over here. I'll hydrate you. All right, let's move off of this because it's just driving me nuts.
Yeah.
Do something
else. All right, so how are we doing for time on this show?
Yeah, I think we got like 10 more minutes and then we're done.
All right, well, there's an interesting story that cropped up about how apparently the Bush surveillance program went way beyond the Fourth Amendment. Now they've killed it, you know, and everybody's upset. Now they're blaming Cheney. He was doing a deal with the CIA, and the CIA was told to stop this program. It's still a secret. We don't know what it was about. And apparently, according to reports, the CIA had no objection to stopping it because they probably felt that they had their tit in the ringer if this, you know, any information got about what they were actually doing domestically, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Now, so the question on my mind is, when do they indict somebody from the Bush administration?
Well, they won't.
Why? It sounds to me as though they violated all kinds of laws. Well, there are laws against doing a lot of the stuff they were doing. It's just against the law. I mean, isn't that where we're a nation of laws? Aren't there laws? I mean, they bust people. You know, they had some case my wife was pointing out to me. Some woman in Alameda or some kid had carved her name or just took a felt tip pen and wrote, "I love Joey" or something on the, on the bench on, at, on the bench at the on an AC Transit bench, and the cops picked her up, arrested her for terrorism and all kinds of weird, because they couldn't read her writing and they thought it may be a threat. And the woman's going through the whole, you know, system of the justice system for scribbling, when in the olden days, of course, you would have made her clean it up and sent her home. And, I mean, they're doing that, but meanwhile, people violating the Fourth Amendment, breaking U.S. code laws left and right, and there's nothing.
Nope. Nothing.
Oh, okay, just wanted to get that straight.
We would be amiss if we did not mention, and this is a Bloomberg report. There's other sources with better pictures than the Bloomberg report. I'll put those in the show notes, of course. Noagenda.mevio.com, noagenda.squarespace.com. The $18 million value we received from Squarespace. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev illustrated his call for a supranational currency to replace the dollar by pulling from his pocket a sample coin of a United Future World currency. Here it is, Medvedev. Dev told reporters today in L'Aquila, Italy, after summit of the Group of Eight Nations, you can see it and touch it. The coin, which bears the words unity in diversity, isn't that directly from 1984, John? Isn't that actually...
It's just ludicrous.
Isn't that
maybe it was. Maybe the coin's a joke.
Hold on. Unity in diversity, 1984. I think I read that in the book.
It could be, but I mean, there's something like it in the book, that's for sure. The question on my mind is, they gave one of these coins to every one of the members of the G20, I guess.
Yeah.
Or the G8 or whoever the hell was meeting, whatever world government was trying to screw us.
No, it's called, in Orwell, the double think was diversity is unity. It was exactly the other way around. That's what Orwell wrote.
Diversity is unity, and this is what?
Unity in diversity. It's freaking Orwell. He's quoting Orwell.
How did they do this and get away with it? And not one media outlet picks it up?
You know, you're sitting there in the sauna, right, with their fat bellies and their dicks hanging down laughing about this shit. You know, they're just sitting there like, Medvedev, you are funny. You make funny.
This is a good one. Let's see if anyone picks up on this little joke. That's pathetic. All right. Well, I'm sure our listeners will get a kick out of it. In fact, if our listeners do get a kick out of it, we wouldn't mind getting a kick back from them.
Yes.
We do have a number of high roller financiers, producers that I want to mention from last week. $50 and $100 donors. Malcolm Blair, 50. Martin Fassu, 100.
Nice.
Christopher Malmy, 50. Brandon Rowles, R-O-W-E-L-L-S, $50.02. You want to give us 2 cents worth.
$50.02. Okay, yeah. All right. I got it. Yeah.
Kevin Webb, 100. Thank you, Kevin. Isla, Ashadawi. That's it.
Ashadawi.
Yep. A-S-H-A-D-A-W-A, Ashadawi, that's got to be it. And it's Ila, I-Y-L-A, gave us, I'm sure she's in some, I actually didn't look up her country, I should, because I'd like to do that, I keep forgetting. She gave us $133.50, which I assume is probably something that
how
came
much?
Out.
What's the amount again?
$133.50.
Oh, that's got to be a House resolution.
Oh, that could be. But
$133.50. Oops.
Daniel Harbold, $50. Griffin Meineke. I just love the name Meineke. I think Meineke is a
Meineke,
car company.
HR 13350. Was it 13350?
Yeah.
A bill to authorize appropriations to the Energy Research and Development Administration in accordance with Section 216 of the Atomic Energy Act of 1954. No, I think it's a stretch, John. I don't think that's
it. It is a stretch. Anyway, Griffin Meineke gave us 60.
Oh, nice.
Mike, well, we liked the 60. Mike Potter gave us 50. And then our big contributor this week was Jeff Wolfers. W-O-L-F-E-R-S, and he gave us a whopping $250, and we appreciate that.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Just like keep us on the air for another week.
a whole nother week. You know what I'm doing, though? I'm going to take some of my portion of the donations, and I'm going to buy more gold. Well, now that this diversity and unity coin has come out, you've got to expect people to move towards gold. So I think that's going to be very important. And I'm also going to purchase at least 6 months worth of storable food, because I think we're getting within a year or two of something happening.
Yeah, I have a better solution for that.
What's that?
If you've ever been in the mailing list business, you would appreciate this. Well, you know, the Mormons, I think their religion requires them to store in their basements a year's worth of food. Mm-hmm. And so what you want to do is you want to rent a mailing list for something, and just rent the Mormon list. And then find out where all the local Mormons are, and then loot them.
Oh, okay. And loot them. The opinions of John C. Dvorak are not necessarily the opinions of all of the hosts of No Agenda. No, I'm going to buy some storable food and keep it for myself. You know what's funny? Mickey bought she went to the Red, which is right on the corner from us. She went to the Red Cross office, and she bought a survival kit. She said, you know, we should probably have one of these. And she said after the fact, I should have bought one for 36 people, but she bought the one for two people because it's two of us, right? So I'm looking in this survival kit. And when I'm back in San Fran, I get back Monday, so the show on Thursday, I will actually go through the contents of this Red Cross survival pack, because it will do anything but help us survive. The funniest thing, though, it's a survival pack for two people. It includes only one face mask. I mean,
that's the way it is.
What is
if
the
you
message?
Have a child, you put yours on first.
Yeah, but it was for two people. If it's for
you
two
get
people,
to keep twice as much food.
If it's for two people, then shouldn't you have two face masks in there? I mean, come on. What's the message? Well, I'm sorry, one of you's got to go.
Anyway, I forgot to mention the noagenda.squarespace.com to donate, or dvorak.org/NA to donate. Noagenda.squarespace.com or dvorak.org/NA. Either one will work. By the way, somebody sent me a note on the chat room saying that United in Diversity is the official motto of the EU.
Really?
Well, that's what he said. We'd have to look it up, but what he said.
So that would be EU.int, I think is, no, wait, was it, what is it, EU website? Let's look at that. That could be. But then
that's even more pathetic.
Yeah, but hold on, the Russian guy is not a member of the EU. Is he? Is Russia a member of the EU?
No, of course not.
So let's look at, where's English? EN, Gateway to the European Union. I don't see it.
Well, just type in the United in Diversity and then EU into Google and see what comes up.
Okay.
United, that's the fastest.
United in the, is it, no, it's Unity in Diversity. Hold on.
Well, he said, that could be the one, it's on the coin, but United apparently is what's in the EU, EU thing. Let me look.
You look at United.
Motto, United in Diversity, delegation of the European Union, is the motto of the European Union. First came into use around the year 2000. It was the first time officially mentioned so-and-so. Yep.
Okay, so then why is the Russian guy showing this? What's up with that?
You said it's unity in diversity. It's different.
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, in other words, they got suckered into using a variation of the EU motto just to give it to us. One of those needling us in here. Look at this. And then see what else we can pull on these boneheads.
And then I would like to finally wind up my portion of the show with a story from Central Gitmo Nation East from the Netherlands, which I will be leaving very soon. The minister of the Justice Minister, Ernst Hirsch Ballin, has said that, well, now that, of course, we have the legal right to keep all internet activity for half a year. We have all of you. All your base belong to us. We have your emails, your SMSs. We are now going to set up automatic alerts. So, as an example, if someone travels to a country frequented by pedophiles, that will be an alert, and they will be stopped and questioned.
For your trip to the Philippines.
I mean, come on. They're profiling. They're doing profiling. And they're literally calling it profiling.
Well, that's what they're doing.
It's bank records, internet records, travel records. I got to get the hell out of here. Hey, John, how long do you predict this show will be on the air? I mean, really?
Well, if people keep giving us money, we'll be on the air for years. But I'll tell you this much. There's a couple of things we still need to talk about. The bees.
Will we ever really do that?
Yeah, we will. The bees and the bats. Mm-hmm. And, which is, you know, the fungus killing these bats all over the place. That's not good. And also, and I'm going to tease this for the Thursday show because we have to do it on Thursday, your food experience at a raw food restaurant.
Yes. So until that time, coming to you from an undisclosed 17th century canal house crackpot command center in Gitmo Nation East, smack in the middle of it, I'm Adam Curry.
And don't forget to go to noagenda.squarespace.com or dvorak.org/NA. I'm in the Pacific Northwest, John C. Dvorak.
We will talk to you again on Thursday right here on No Agenda.